Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I have Sabina Kappa with me today. Now, she is a successful PR and communications professional representing Fortune 500 companies and incredible leaders worldwide. In 2023, she left the corporate world to pursue creative endeavors, including writing and art. This is Sabina's debut novel, written as though these extraordinary events unfolded. Sabina and I had a little conversation before we came on, and I haven't learned a lot yet. So this is going to be a conversation of me pulling information. I think it's going to be a little bit left field to what you're used to listening to. Her goal is to spark a conversation with generations of women raised in silence. She lives in Dallas, Texas, with her husband, son, and two dogs. She enjoys reading unique perspectives, indulging in prestige TV shows, and rocking Barbie core fashion.
Oh, yes. I love all the Barbie stuff that came out that year.
Do you have a big collection, Sabina?
I do not. I did not have Barbies when I was little. I was not allowed. So now I just love the pink and the girl power and, you know, all the fun things that are girls.
So was that one of your favorite movies, Barbie?
It is. Yes, for sure.
It certainly is a power movie, that one.
Oh, it just makes me giggle every time I watch it.
Absolutely. I remember I got my first Barbie doll. My sister and I were quite young and we had our tonsils out, and we both got a Barbie doll each as our first ones. And that's a very long time ago. You know, the Barbie's been around a very long time.
Yes,
such a thrill to get the Barbie. And I went to the Barbie Museum somewhere. Where was that? Indianapolis, was it maybe?
Or I don't know.
Somewhere in Canada might have been. I can't remember now. I've done a lot of travel. And there was one of the levels of this museum. Yes, it was in Canada somewhere. And it was one level had the had a World War II or young people who had stood out in history. And one was Anne Frank. One was the young girl who went to a black girl who went to a white school in the South, and one was another one, and I can't think, but one level floor was that, and one floor was all Barbies, and it was quite diverse, this children's museum. I think it was.
That sounds thrilling.
It was. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
At least it was memorable, right?
Yeah. That was quite incredible. But anyway, it was the whole Barbie thing happening on this whole level, and young girls, we were able to dress up and then walk down a red carpet and play and take photos.
Oh, I love that.
We're not talking about Barbie today, but that just jumped out of me when I saw that in your bio. So welcome.
The original working woman, okay?
Absolutely. I think we all need to have allow our inner child to come through and have fun with things and be creative. My mum was a sewer, so she used to make all of our little Barbie clothes. And gosh, I am
learning to sew because I think I love fashion, so it's just, you know, learning at my age is a unique endeavor, but I'm having a good time. I made my fancy sweatshirt today.
Oh, nice. Oh, well done you. Yeah. I did that when my sons were young, and I got the sewing machine out, which I haven't used for about 30 years, and sold it recently.
Oh, wow.
And then the person who bought it was very excited by it, and then when she went to use it, it broke. So she bought it back. I gave her money back and we dumped it. No, that's it. That's the end of my sewing experience from now on. It's not my thing. So tell me, you and I was surprised when I read this that you were part of, Fortune 500 companies and work with incredible leaders, but that's not what you're doing now.
That is not. So in 2023, I think you opened up with I had an insane event where my family, my 100-year-old grandfather showed up at my house and pounded my door down and demanded to see me. It set off a chain of events where I basically could not hide that I was living like a double life. And I was protecting my family's in, I mean, just evil, evil history. They are from Oklahoma. They have deep roots in all of the difficulties that and challenges that come with living in that area, and they are rotten, rotten humans. And my grandfather has been kind of reigning unchecked his whole life, and at the end of his life, they called to let me know that he was dying, and they offered me an opportunity to say goodbye. And so I confronted him and let him know that I wrote a book and I told all of our family secrets, and it was at a publisher, and there was nothing he could do about it. And I secretly recorded it and I put it on the internet so that they could never silence me again. And since then, it's been a wild ride. That was literally in June of 2024 was when I posted that. And I have since published two books, and I am already writing my next one.
I can't imagine. Look, you hear
Crazy.
about things in the news, and people will go, "Oh, that was such a normal family. I didn't notice anything toward going on at all. They just seem so normal." And as you said, you're living a double life. And
Yes,
maybe
very
people
much so.
don't have extreme things happening, and please share what you feel comfortable sharing. Obviously, I've shared in a book anyway, but people often are living a double life, and that's what shows up on our social media, or when we're in the
Oh, yeah.
workforce doing something. Look at me, everything's amazing, without realizing what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, you're 100% right. That's exactly what it felt like. I had a beautiful family. Everybody loved me. I had a great job, a lovely husband, a beautiful son. But the kind of abuse that I was still enduring at that point, like it was, my mom would still poison me on the holidays. I mean, like it was definitely a wild thing for me to be living the life that I was, as far as I was so open with everything's fine. Everything's fine. And I think that's a generational thing. I think a lot of women in the Gen X generation were taught to put a smile on it, make it pretty, and just grit it and grind it out. And it, my talents at making the disgusting, very smoothed out and pushed over to the side worked wonderfully in a career of PR and communications. Like, I worked for some of the biggest companies in the world, and I've seen what those executives do behind closed doors. And let me tell you, they weren't paying me enough not to keep those secrets. And you add those secrets on top of my own, and my goodness, I don't know how anybody in my field is coping right now because the pressure to spin is wild. It's wild. And it gets to you after a while.
That's incredible. And obviously then, as you said, in the workforce. So what's the name of the book, by the way? That
Oh, it's Licking the Knife. It's a true
Licking
crime
the knife.
memoir. Yes, Licking the Knife. And it's because there's a quote that I read that just got me. And it says, if you haven't been fed love on a silver spoon, you learn to lick it off knives. And the poetry of it, first of all, is just stunning. In addition to that, is very much me. Like, this is a story that turns out okay. So don't be afraid to read it because I'm okay. Like, I have a husband who's amazing. I have a son who's beautiful. I have two amazing dogs. You know, I have a lot to be grateful for, and I made it out, and I'm getting better every day. And so I'm like, you know, it is a wild book, and I strongly recommend reading the trigger warnings at the beginning. Just being thoughtful and mindful of yourself and your own experiences. But it is one of my proudest moments to just get it all down, and I guarantee you've never read anything like it. Which
That's
is a big
yeah.
move, I
I'm
know.
going to have to do that now. It'll be
Well, I feel like at this point, I have put it out there to the world. I've been screaming at the top of my lungs for a year now, and there's no evidence to the contrary.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I would imagine, particularly not just the family side, but putting it out with the corporate side, you've made a lot of friends, but I can assume you've made a lot of enemies as well. It's what something that people do not want to hear. They don't want to be confronted with the reality of situations because they have to then question themselves as to their behavior. And you would have done the same. How did I let this happen for so long and without stepping up before now? And that's really challenging for people.
You know, it's interesting you say that. It is a point I haven't discussed, but I've been very aware of, is the silence from my corporate zeitgeist or community. I mean, it's deafening. It is deafening. They aren't the only ones. There are many, many people who I know, like, I'll have 70,000 views on a video, but I'll have 300 likes. Like, it's very obvious. People are watching, they're interested, they're engaged, but they're even afraid to just double tap and like something that I'm saying because it does feel so controversial. But because of my background in PR and communications, I do have the ability to sit down and think about how to commute some of these difficult topics with some sensitivity and clarity that, you know, it's a skill set I've built and used for rotten people for a long time. It's nice to use it for something nice and interesting because so many people do connect to some of the experiences, specifically of just being a young girl in the 90s, the young girl in the Mormon church, in purity culture in Oklahoma. Like, there's a lot of things in there that are shared experiences, and we have grown up with a shared silence that is now kind of starting to fracture. I don't mind being a leader in that voice at all, but the silence of those who I would have considered friends and I would have shown up for has been, it's just telling. It's very humbling, and I feel like I'm gaining insight and wisdom.
I remember watching a series, not in the last couple of years, where they did an expose on and interviewed a whole lot of people who'd come out of the Mormon church, and it was the attacks on them personally and their businesses and everything was mind-blowing. There'd be people standing out in front of their houses protesting and threats, and it was that like what went on that they exposed was challenging, certainly. But that follow-up and the threats, to me, that was even more telling.
Yes, I agree. I think there are a lot of what claim to be religions that have very unsavory consequences if you try to leave.
Yeah, and that takes courage. But the stepping out of the corporate, I'm assuming well-paid job to be able to step away from as well in 2024 after what's happened, over the last few years. It's that's
Yeah.
interesting as well, and then to challenge the family and challenge. It's not just a family. It's challenging your whole belief. It's who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I talk about in the book, part of what I learned through this process was there's new studies that talk about inner, I'm trying to think, inner family systems, I think is what it's called. But basically, you just have little bits of yourself kind of inside, like maybe something happened when you were 5, or maybe something happened when you were 12, and you kind of keep that narrative in your head around that event. So I have a really extreme version of that, but I have it. And being able to share that experience with other people who do not have the luxury to go sit down in therapy for 3 months and figure this stuff out, or go away to a facility, which I did. I was very thoughtful in planning my future, and I really prioritized that I was going to need to take care of this at some point. I just thought it wouldn't be till later. But life happens, and I think it's very hard to look at a difficult situation like being attacked in your home and go, okay, I'm going to use this as a tool to completely level and blow up my life. All of that framework that I had built, all of those kids, just let them go free and really start from the bottom and build my values and belief systems on things that matter to me now, that are healthy and happy and don't rely on work or authority or divine grace. So that's really the work that I did. And when you talk about internal structure and really having to attack that as a business professional and as a woman who wears, I'm a mother and a wife. Like, there's not a lot of time to sit and go, oh, let me think about my psyche and where I am as a woman at 40 versus where I was, when I was a child.
Yeah, and that's not, I mean that is hugely exposing yourself. That it is, isn't it? It's not. Yeah, it is. It's not something that we're that many of us are prepared to break down and challenge everything that we thought was a belief. We like to hang on to our beliefs. It's what forms us, because if we have this belief, then we'll value this, and then that's important to us. Whereas, okay, that just doesn't work anymore. So what can I do about it? And then
Well, I think when you find out that one of your core beliefs, like mine specifically, was God. So, like, my grandfather had distorted the vision of God to be himself. So, when I got out from underneath that, if you can break religion, you can start exploring new things. And because so much of values and belief systems come from, growing up in a religious environment, many times, not always, but many times. So I had to go look at resources that said, we're going to look at, science or, things that really made sense to me in psychology or in psychoanalysis. But again, I really planned and I knew this day would come. I'm so glad and lucky that I have resources. And it really breaks my heart that, especially now when the world is so difficult, that those kind of resources are not always available.
Yes, but planning is such an important factor because I imagine that gave you a bit of a foundation. I'm not just jumping into it. It's something that you'd obviously thought about for a while, but you did jump into. But there was a point.
It was a bit like having a baby. Like, nobody plans on, well, some people do plan on having a baby, but I did not plan on having a baby, but you kind of did in the back of your head. And then one day it happens. That very much was the same cycle with this. Like, I always had it in the back of my head that I was going to have to go tackle this. You just never think now's the time, because now's never a good time to like have a mental breakdown, but here we are.
And that's the thing with anything. So whatever we're looking at with challenging or that's not working for us, we weigh up the pros and cons. Is it worthwhile me, challenging that friend who constantly criticizes me and is not a good friend but demands that we spend time together? Because if I do that, then I don't have a best friend anymore. It's that, should I do this because this is going to be the consequence? And are you in contact with any of your family?
What a great question. So that is my mother's side of the family, and the answer is no. I'm not in contact with any of them. They very viciously deny that. Sorry, they say that I'm exaggerating. It happened. I'm just exaggerating. So that's their story. And then my father and I are in touch. It's quiet, but it's good. And
Had he
I
removed
my
himself from the
extended
situation? Sorry, jumping in the
yeah yeah yeah
arena.
yeah yeah they it goes back to what you were talking about earlier with my work friends. Like, people are very afraid about their own culpability or how I might feel toward them, which everybody's the main character in their own story, so it makes sense. I've been so surprised, because that is so not my focus. Like, my focus is not going after someone who, took a boyfriend in high school, or who, got a promotion over me at work. Like, that's not what I'm looking for. That's not the arc of my story. My story now, I'm really just looking for support, belief, kindness, because I'm like, it is, like you said, it's blowing up my whole life to say I was lying. Like, I didn't really come from where I said I came from. Put myself and my family in danger all the time because I was covering all this stuff up. And I'm like, I understand why people would be mistrustful or not want to engage. But the people who have engaged, man, that's when you know you've got friendship. That's when you know what the difference is between the people at work who show up in the funeral and the people, who don't wish you well when you walk out the door. It's just, it's a very eye-opening experience, but I think everybody goes through some sort of purge and cleanse at some point in their life. So it would make sense that, I'm in midlife. I'm 47, so that's just, I just navigated as best they come.
Yes, and the question is the what does it look like for you if you don't get support and belief and kindness from those people?
I don't care.
You don't care. That's great.
I get it from my husband. I get it from my son, which far and away is the most important. My best friend, she is also like, she has been with me every step of the way. And then I have a few other like really close friends who have just come through. Like, I am very, very lucky that I built relationships that were able to withstand this level of test. I mean, goodness, how many of us are tested in our relationships right now? And it's so easy to snap and crack.
It takes courage, and it
Yeah.
definitely is just a challenge. You challenge things in a big way, but just
Yeah.
to challenge anything, and to stand up and have a voice is, and that's one of the things that I'm constantly working with women to do, enable them to do that, is to stand up
Yeah.
and have a voice and be heard. And that
Yeah.
takes courage to do that, and sometimes it. Like for yourself, there comes a moment where you go, that's it. This is the line in the sand. I will not accept this anymore. One of
And
my favorite
listen to
songs
him.
is
I
Hail Freddy.
cried and threw a hissy fit and had panic attack. I mean, I fought it for a solid 45 days before I finally gave in and was like, I can't do this anyway. Like, this is just, it's just too much. And I hate now that I waited until my body was breaking down and my mind was breaking down, because it got to a point where I was so broken down. I had to, like, I could barely get up to a normal person level. And, my kid had to see that. And my husband had to see that. And I hate that for them. But at the same time, now they know me as a more complete human. And we, have the most amazing conversations as a family, because we talk about everything, because you kind of have to after something like that. Like, there just aren't secrets in our house anymore. And when I look at, especially stepping back into the workforce, like, I think that's going to be an expectation on any resume nowadays. Don't you?
An expectation of open communication, do you mean? Sorry.
No, of secrecy.
I've part of a group, and we've had conversations the other day about hidden secrets and hidden talents and secret lives. And it's really interesting that when you, and these were all good things that were, interesting
Yeah.
things that people hadn't realized that they had a particular hidden talent that nobody else can do. And it wasn't, playing the flute or something. It was quite interesting, the things. But so you're thinking that if you the secrets in resumes, is that where you're going with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think?
Don't we do that already?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
Yeah.
what I'm saying. Like, we've kind of, like, no wonder I was so successful. Like, I
Yeah.
was bred for this. Like, they both played so well into each other. It's like, of course I ended up where I ended up, especially looking at, what the world is going through right now when it comes to PR and social media and how we are all perceived online. Like, it's just wild that I took a job that was keeping secrets.
Yeah,
It's,
interesting. Yeah,
but of
definitely. I
course,
understand
of
where you're
course.
coming from with that. With
Yeah.
that now, so that yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense to do that because growing up in this in with your family, it would be this is not something that we share with the outside. We this is just something between the family here. End of story. Yeah,
Yep.
do not talk about it, and you don't expose it.
Ever. We don't ever talk about it.
Yeah.
And if you do, you'll be 6 feet under. Like, it
Yeah.
was so difficult.
So moving away from Oklahoma yourself, was that with college or was that jobs or was that
No,
intentional?
job. Yeah, I got a job opportunity. And funny enough, I got a job in healthcare in 2013 when Obamacare went into effect.
Okay.
So I hope to write a book about my experiences there one day, because being in that industry at that time was wild, because it went from a fully private product, sorry, in the United States to a private and government product. It was just a leadership industry things that happened that were like wild. And then I worked in a semiconductor industry during COVID, and I managed a team globally in both Asia and Europe. So like I ran communications the entire time across the globe during the biggest pandemic that's ever happened in the world, you know, like, but I also saw what was going on behind the scenes of those things. And I never signed an NDA. I don't think people understood what I saw. And I'm like, I'm so good at just keeping the secrets that I'm like, it goes all the way back to what you were talking about. You know, the Mormon Church is pretty rough with how they treat traitors. So is corporate America. So I feel like I don't have an easy road ahead of me, but man, somebody's got to start talking. Like,
And that's a really good statement. Somebody has got to start talking.
somebody's got to start. And you know what? I'm willing to do it. I like to be a storyteller, and I really see so much potential in women in leadership. It drives me bonkers that they have so little opportunity.
Yes, and we're doing a little bit better here in Australia, but it's there's some women that are in, you know, in some of the top jobs, but I'm working with women all the time, and it's still very interesting when it comes to women's belief in themselves. It's not really what business they've started for themselves or what job they're in. There's still so much doubt, and a part of women's nature is to put other people ahead of themselves and usually put family ahead of ourselves. But to recognize, and you brought up the fact that your body and your mind started shutting down. And unless we put ourselves first, then we bring that level of dis-ease into our space. And it's.
Well, hold on. I want to go back to something you said. You said it's in our nature to put others first. I would challenge that to say it's how we're nurtured. We are taught as women to take care of others before our own bodies, before our own, like we serve the men before we eat ourselves. You know, you cook the food or you clean for them, like especially in the Mormon religion and more conservative Christian religions. Like it is very much from the moment I was born, I was bred to serve men. And even though they have led us into their workforce, you know, it's difficult for the older generation to adapt. They just don't do it well. They
No, no, no.
don't. They don't. It's not pretty.
No, it's definitely there is that balance between nature and nurture. And I know for myself, I've always been of the mindset that the better I can look after myself emotionally, physically, financially, the more support I can give other people down the track. And it's paid off, you know, with helping family and son, my sons and different things. So that's, you know, when they come and tell you something that you just don't want to hear, then rather than it being a complete at the end of the world type of thing, you just go, okay, let's move on. What are we doing now? You know, that sort of space. But that's only because of recognizing I have the emotional capacity to deal with it. And th but that's taken work to go, hey, I can't do that for you because I need to be here doing this for me as well. Plus I'm Taurian, so that helps too.
It's so impressive. That's a hard statement. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get to a point where I can go, hold on just a minute. I need a moment for myself. Like it's not something I was nurtured to do.
No, yes. I was fortunate. My mum, looking at a couple of different sides of her, and choosing that independent side as opposed to a bit of coercive control side that she was also part of. So, yeah.
It pulls you sometimes. Sometimes you feel like you get yourself.
Definitely. And now with quite a few grandchildren, it's a different space. And I'll Sabrina, this has sort of got nothing to do with what we're talking about, and the listeners have heard me say this before, but when if I mention the word grandchildren, it's with my children, I love them. You
Tell
know,
me everything. Tell
that's
me, I want to know.
that it's the rule. You birth them, you're supposed to love them. That's the end of the story. But with my grandchildren, I'm in love with them.
Do you love about them? What's
I
different?
don't have to parent them. They're not my responsibility to parent. I can discipline and I'm firm, but they don't need discipline when they're with me. They just behave. And so my grandchildren are between 22 and 6, and now we've got three step grandchildren added into that mix as well.
Oh my gosh. I bet holidays are going to be a blast.
Yes, and now especially with the this extra three in there, it's we've got a 22-year-old's birthday's coming up, and so we're all getting together as well for that.
I love that. What are there any holiday or birthday traditions in Australia that are different from the US?
No, not really. We don't do your Thanksgiving and things where people travel from the country to get together and that sort of stuff. And because Christmas here is summer, it's hot. So it's the pool, and we've got my oldest son's best mate was grew up they've grown up next door to each other. So his dad still lives next door, and they've got grandchildren, and they've got children as well. So whenever there's Australia Day or Christmas or footy game final or something, both houses have become a track for kids to, in one pool next door and one pool, and they're all old enough now that that's fine as long as someone keeps half an eye on them in the pool. But they're from each house, and someone feeds them or someone else doesn't or whatever. It's wonderful. So there's all this added. It's not just ours. It's theirs as well. So yeah, it's a bit. But it's quite different being summer.
I hope to experience that. I had a cousin who lived there once, and he said the same thing. He's like, it's very different.
It is, and it's they the modern families in Australia have given up the roast meals and the English heritage of the roast and vegetables on us on a Christmas day. It tends to be cold meat and seafood, so it's a different.
That sounds divine. I'm here for that. Full side. Yes. Sounds great.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So back on to your thing. Well, that then becomes and just talking about then grandchildren. How old's your son?
Oh, he's 15, sorry, 16. He just
16.
turned
So
16.
in the future, that's part of your parents missing out on that, or your mum and your family and your siblings and all of that, and you're missing out on their kids as well, which is it must be, I suppose the word's disappointing, that but probably expected.
I would say the most disappointing thing is that they can see, or that he can see what they say about me. He can see what they say about me. He could read the comments. He can see, and knowing who it's coming from a lot of the time is challenging, especially when, they had a good relationship with him. But one thing, he has seen is that boys are treated very differently than girls in my family.
Yeah.
And I did adopt my niece for by 4 or 5 years, and that was extremely rough, but we included him in everything we did so that he would have his own narrative and he would see the differences. And then watching me go through what I went through, like he really is aware of how my family specifically is very patriarchal, very divine guided, and they do not value me as a human at all. Like it's once you see it, it's very, very obvious. So I think he doesn't miss those relationships as much as he gets sad and upset that they would be
Right.
so violent toward me. Yeah. But violence, unfortunately, was a part of that relationship when we were still had him around, and he made the choice very young that he didn't want to be around it anymore. So, when we moved, we just were very selective with our efforts when we came home.
Yeah, and that's one advantage of putting actual
Yeah.
physical distance between you as well as emotional distance.
Yeah, and it was close.
Yeah, I think that's an important factor that whenever we're confronted with something, and as you've done, and we make a choice to air it, to expose ourselves, is the example that we're setting, like the example that you're setting for your son, the example that you're setting for your friends or family. I've been quite vocal over the last 5 years about things. And I've had people come to me and say, well, someone's not going to work with you because they disagree with you. And I go, well, that's fair enough. But the amount of people that have come up to me and say, look, I don't necessarily agree with you, but because you've are prepared, we know who you are. You
Yeah.
are honest with this, so we know who you are. And I'd rather work with somebody that I know is actually genuine rather than just saying I'm authentic and genuine. And that's what you're giving that
Yes.
example for your son and family.
Yes. I 100% agree with you. Yes. It is difficult to have friends and family with a far side of the range of the spectrum of a conversation from where I sit now. However, every time I really sit down and get to the meat of what they are talking about or I am talking about, I hear them. I hear them for the people I know, for the values they hold, and for the beliefs that they have. And when you really get down to what do people stand for and what do they believe in, I think the other conversations tend to look foolish because they are. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? So like going through this experience, doing exactly what you're talking about, being very conscious of what I'm exposing my child to, and being really honest about difficult topics with him this early in life is, yes, giving him some adulthood early, but it also prepares him for what he might be up against in the dating scene and what he might be up against, whenever he's dealing with, coworkers or whatever down the way. Like having trauma awareness is gonna be such an asset, like in the next 10 years. Like, come on.
And that's something that I am constantly monitoring is that because we don't have opportunity to build resilience now with our children, we tend to pack them all in precious little bubble wrap, and we don't allow them to have the hurts, the falls, the emotional components without, if a teacher's been mad at them, well, we'll go complain to the teacher that the teacher was wrong. Whereas and I'm the generation back from you with the baby boomers, if I remember standing up to a bully of a teacher, he bullied the girls, he allowed the boys to hit the girls, everything. And in grade 7, I just had enough. And I just walked out of the classroom and I walked home, you know, a couple of kilometres home during the middle of the hot day, not through snow and it's like, you know. Anyway, got home and mum said, what's happening? And I told her and she said, well, get back to school. That was the response. But it was, okay, I'm going back, but I'm going to talk to the principal. And that's what I did, is went and talked to the principal. I refused to go back in the classroom.
What did she do?
Well, mum wasn't the, I'd stop complaining, go and do it. It was basically go and figure it out for yourself.
Wow.
So how do you build, resilience by not having someone there constantly? And that was pretty tough. But this is the 70s, mind you. This is very different to how things would be done now. But it was that she went, right, I will do it for myself. And I went and spoke to the principal.
Why do you think it was different?
Why do you think it's different? Regarding to how we were treated or resilience?
No, to how, to you said it was different back then, like that,
the respect,
because that behavior like
yeah.
was just like that.
It was just like that. It was that you don't talk back to adults, teachers, police, doctors, bankers, they've all got the authority. They're held in positions of authority. So you don't, you would never go and complain about a teacher. It's so different.
I hear you say the same thing my mother told me about, like the bishop at church, like you don't complain, or you don't complain about your grandfather or whatever. Like in my book, I told three times. I told my mom, I told my bishop, and I told my best friend's mom. And all three people had very severe consequences every time I did it. And I finally got to a point where I was just like, I give up. Like, because what are they going to do? Like, the church ran everything. Like nobody's going to stand up and blow somebody's family up in the 80s, you know, like you're talking about. And I'm like, what do we do?
Yeah.
I've been, you know, on the internet for a year now, and I just put out my book, and I still can't get anybody to dig up the backyard and get all the bodies back there. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, Sabrina, though.
Oh, I know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it is wild to me that people would rather protect the property rights of a property owner than however many dead people are buried back there.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's just
wild. My mum's attitude was, you know, you can sort this out. It was more. But it was, again, this is what I was saying with your son, is that opportunity to build resilience. Trauma is not a bad thing in someone's life. It's how it's dealt with.
Oh, wait. We'll disagree there.
Okay.
Trauma's bad. Trauma's really bad.
The level of trauma. Well, let's change the word to challenges.
Clarify. How about clarify?
Okay. So my oldest son is now divorced and his children are 9 and 9 and 12. And so those kids have gone through the challenge of their parents separating. Okay. But it's worked out really well. The parents are adults, fortunately. But that's a challenge that not every kid has to go through. And now they have to navigate with stepkids and as well. So it's a challenge. So that you can either treat them one way or treat them that it's in an adult way in conversations. And I know they've, with this blended family, it's a bit like Brady Bunch. They've got a list of how we all treat each other in the house. So they've given them the opportunity to all step up to the plate because they're old enough to recognize this certain behaviors isn't acceptable. These are the ways we treat ourselves. So from that challenge, they have learned resilience, but they've also learning respect. Because life's just not going to be easy for everyone all the time. And children are coming through without any resilience now. And unfortunately, it's showing in anxiety. Well, I don't know, it is in Australia anyway. Highest level of youth anxiety and depression that we've ever, ever experienced. And my belief is just not having a chance to learn resilience.
You know, it's interesting. I was just telling my husband the other day how our generation has been through more worldwide events than any other, like just one of our things, like just 9/11 or just Ukraine or, you know, just Iraq would be one defining event. But we had all that, and we watched the Challenger explode on live TV, and we watched, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing. Like, I was in Oklahoma City and we watched that live. And, you know, I was in corporate America at 9/11, and I worked all the way through COVID. And, you know, like, there are all these things. If you don't even count my traumatic past through my family. So I think our generation specifically is really cracking, not because we haven't had resilience, but because we have had no opportunity and support. Like, I feel like older generations used to make such a big thing about passing down like knowledge and wealth and ideas and institutions, and now it's just money. I don't
yeah,
know.
I
think maybe I'm jaded.
No, that's a good point. It's then how you respond to, or how you take things on emotionally and personally, as to how you can respond to them. It's, you know, there's a lot of controversy in Australia here at the moment because of what's happening in Israel and Palestine, and you know, there's a, our prime ministers decide to go one way, and there's a lot of poor line down the middle, and not a lot of Australian pride at the moment, unfortunately. So there's a lot of that, but and I have opinions on it, but do I take it on emotionally sometimes when there's idiots out there, but most of the time, okay, I can talk about it, respond to it, and then I just move on to another subject, if you get what I mean. So it's, we can take things on. So in Australia, we have lots of cyclones, flooding, fires, and there's always, it's our, well, there's a poem, "I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of rugged mountain ranges, of drought and flooded rain." There's constantly something going on. There's always drought. And I think here, maybe that's sort of why that looks a bit different. I don't know. But the pioneers that settled here had to deal with constant drought and flooded rains. Then they became very resilient and very, and they, that's the past generations, very stoic in their attitude towards things. Well, it's just the way it is, you know. It's, so whether that's me as a baby boomer, it's just the way it is. So maybe that is a different generational response to things too, Sabrina.
Maybe.
It's just the way it is. That's really interesting. No, it is
a different perspective for sure. Like, I am an eternal optimist, and I always want to believe that I can make things better. And I really think I think at least I can try. I would like to die knowing I tried to make the world better.
I think by you absolutely having the courage and stand out and stand up for what you believe in, you have definitely done that. Look, I have enjoyed our conversation so much. I love real conversations, which is very cool, and looking things from a different perspective. And you challenged me on that thing with the generational stuff, and I'm going to figure out whether it's just me or it is. I'm just thinking of some of my friends that have just, how they deal with stuff. It's, oh, well, that's it.
It's different, for sure. And I think It is hard to have the conversation, but man, it's so worth it because we didn't yell. We didn't fight. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I think the internet needs more of, is let's have a conversation with somebody from across the world who I don't know, and we don't have, the same backgrounds at all, but we can talk about, where we are as a generation, what we're experiencing culturally, because I know, as someone who reads the news every day, like, I look at world news. I'm watching about the lady who poisoned people with the beef Wellington. Like, come on, I'm caught up. I know what's going on.
Oh no, so many people I know got really caught up in that. It was,
Oh, it's a thing on the
oh, she
true
was so
crime podcast.
guilty. She was so guilty.
Oh, I love watching coverage of big cases like that. I think it's very fascinating what the conversation is. That's old habit.
It's no, that's great. Look, I've loved it. How can people
Yeah,
get
this has been
How
so
can people
great.
buy your
Thank you.
books? We didn't even touch on the children's book as well, but how can they buy your
It's
books?
okay. It's okay. They are doing gangbusters. They're both available on sabrinacapper.com, and they're both available on Amazon or Barnes and Noble or whatever worldwide bookseller. I do have an audience in Australia. They have been
Awesome.
very nice to me. There have been a couple of true crime talkers that have done some sleuthing for me. So shout out, thank you so much. And Licking the Knife has sold thousands. I am deciding right now if I'm going to do a second print or what I'm going to do there. Like, I just finished my publishing contract, so I'm deciding what my next steps are going to be, because the end of my contract was doing Beasts, the story of a girl in a beastly world, which I was going to show you. I To get through all of this, I painted. And these are some of the originals that are in my book.
Well done,
Thank
you.
you. Yeah, they're kind of like my emotional beasts. So, like, sometimes you feel like a porcupine, like you're pokey and like you just do not want to be dealing with people that day. And you can't explain how you feel, but you're like, I feel pokey. I don't want to be around it. And so it's just a different way to talk about my emotions. And I've noticed that kids really enjoy my mussy scribbles. So here we are.
Well done. Well done, you.
Thank you.
I just
Well,
remembered
thank
I was
you so
supposed to
much.
be at lunch at 11:30 and I'm late. So,
Oh, do not be late. You got to go,
no,
girl.
I
But this
won't be
was
late. I will.
lovely. Please send me
Great.
the link and let me know
Thank
when
you
you're
so much.
ready.
Yeah, and I'll all be in the show notes. Thank you, everybody who has been listening to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember to go to JeaneBosper.com and book a strategy call. We have a conversation. I guarantee if I'm not the right person for you, I can recommend hundreds. Well, have a great day. Bye-bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the five most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.